today is the first day of July. Welcome to a brand new month. And welcome to the back half, right? This is the first day of the second half of the year. So we got kind of a big beginning here. We began a new week, but now we're beginning a new month, and we're beginning the third quarter of the year. Today is the 182nd day of our 365-day journey. It leads us together as a community through the entire Bible in all its glory. So I am grateful to be here with you today for this new beginning, and grateful to take the next step forward. Obviously, we're picking up where we left off. And we left off, we left off in a pretty melancholy way. The kingdom of Israel, those 10 tribes to the north, they don't exist anymore. They are carried into exile. It's not that the last time that we will hear or see of them, but historically at this point, they're gone, and they never come back. They are never tribes again. So that leaves us with the kingdom of Judah at this point. And then in the New Testament, Paul the Apostle is heading towards Jerusalem, and he knows that's not likely to go well for him, like in a physical sense. And so let's see how the story goes. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 13 through 19, verse 37 today. In King Hezekiah's 14th year, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them. Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent a message to the king of Assyria at Lachish. "I have done wrong. Withdraw from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will pay." Then the king of Assyria imposed on Hezekiah a penalty of 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the Lord's house and in the treasuries of the king's house. At this time, Hezekiah stripped the gold off the doors of the temple of the Lord and off the doorposts which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid with gold, and he gave it to the king of Assyria. Then the king of Assyria sent the field commander, the chief of staff, and the herald from Lachish with a large army against King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. They came up to Jerusalem and stood by the watercourse from the upper pool, which is on the way to the washerman's field. They summoned the king. So Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was the palace administrator, Shebna, who was the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, who was the recorder, went out to meet them. The herald said to them, "Tell Hezekiah what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. What are you relying on? You say that you have the plan and power for war, but this is only words from your lips. So who are you trusting when you rebel against me? Tell me, are you really trusting in Egypt as your staff? That splintered reed which will pierce the hand of anyone who leans on it? That's what Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is for, all those who trust in him. And if you say to me, 'We are trusting in the Lord our God,' didn't Hezekiah remove his high places and his altars and tell Judah and Jerusalem, 'You must bow down before this altar in Jerusalem'? But now make a bargain with my lord, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you can provide riders for them. How will you resist one officer from among the least significant of my lord's servants? You are trusting in Egypt for chariots and charioteers. Have I now come up against this place without the Lord? The Lord said to me, 'Go up against this land and destroy it.'" Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, along with Shebna and Joah, said to the herald, "Please, speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. But don't speak with us in Hebrew, in the hearing of the people who are on the wall." And the herald said to them, "Is it only to your lord and to you that my lord sent me to speak these words? Is it not also to the people who are sitting on the wall, who will have to eat their own excrement and drink their own urine with you?" Then the herald stood up and called out in a loud voice in Hebrew and said the following, "Listen to the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you, because he can't save you from my hand. And don't let Hezekiah cause you to trust in the Lord by saying, 'The Lord will surely save us.' He will not let this city be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't listen to Hezekiah, because this is what the king of Assyria says. Make a peace treaty with me and come out to me. Then each of you will eat from his own vine and drink from his own cistern, until I come and take you to a land like your own land, a land with grain and sweet wine, a land with bread and vineyards, a land with olive oil and honey, so that you may live and not die. Don't listen to Hezekiah, because he is misleading you when he says, 'The Lord will save us.' Have the gods of any nation ever saved their land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Did they save Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of the lands saved their land from my hand? Will the Lord really save Jerusalem from my hand?" But the people were silent. They did not answer him a word, because the king had commanded them not to speak or answer. Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was the palace administrator, Shebna, who was the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, who was the recorder, went to Hezekiah with their robes torn and told him the words of the herald. When King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth. Then he went into the house of the Lord. He sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and the elders of the priests, dressed in sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. They said to him, "This is what Hezekiah says. Today is a day of distress and rebuke and humiliation, because children have come to the point of birth, but there is no strength to deliver them. Perhaps the Lord your God will hear all the words of the herald, whom his Lord, the king of Assyria, sent to mock the living God. And he will rebuke him for the words which the Lord your God has heard. And you will lift up a prayer on behalf of the remnant who are left." When the servants of King Hezekiah went to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, "Say this to your Lord. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of these words which you heard, with which the lackeys of the king of Assyria blasphemed me. See, I am going to put into him such a frame of mind that when he hears a certain report, he will return to his country, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land." Because the herald heard that the king of Assyria had withdrawn from Lachish, he went back and found the king fighting against Libna, for he had heard this report about Tirzah, king of Cush. "Watch out, he has come out to fight with you." So he again sent messengers to Hezekiah to say this to Hezekiah, king of Judah, "Don't let your God, whom you trust, deceive you, saying, 'Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria.' Listen, you have heard what the kings of Assyria did to all the lands which they completely destroyed, and you expect to be saved? Did the gods of the nations which my fathers destroyed save them? Gozan and Aran and Rezeph and the people of Eden who are in Telesar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim and Hena and Iva? Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the house of the Lord, and Hezekiah spread it out before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. O Lord God of Israel, you are seated above the cherubim. You alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You made the heavens and the earth. Bend your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Hear Sennacherib's words, which he sent to taunt the living God. It is true, Lord, that the kings of Assyria have destroyed these nations and their lands. They have burned their gods, because they were not gods, but only the works of human hands, just wood and stone. So they destroyed them. But now, O Lord our God, please save us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you, O Lord, our God, you alone. Then Isaiah, son of Amoz, sent a message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard what you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. This is the message which the Lord has spoken about him. The virgin daughter Zion despises you. She jeers at you. The daughter Jerusalem tosses her head at you. Whom have you taunted and blasphemed? Against whom have you lifted up your voice and raised your eyes to heaven? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers you have taunted the Lord. You have said, with my many chariots I have gone up to the heights of the mountains, to the most remote part of Lebanon. I cut down its tall cedars and the best of its fir trees. I went into its farthest dwelling place, the most lush of its forests. I dug wells and drank water in foreign lands. I dried up all the streams of Egypt with the soles of my feet. Have you not heard? From long ago, I, the Lord, did this. From days of eternity, I formed it, and now I have brought it about, that fortified cities crash into piles of ruined stones. Their inhabitants, powerless, are dismayed and ashamed. They are like plants in the field in fresh green grass, like grass on the roof, scorched before it becomes a full-grown stalk. I know when you sit down and when you go out, and when you come in again, and how you rage against me. Because you rage against me, because your arrogance has reached my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will make you go back by the way you came. This will be a sign for you. This year you will eat what grows naturally. Next year what grows naturally from that. But in the third year, you will sow and harvest. You will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. The surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root below and produce fruit above. For a remnant will go out from Jerusalem and survivors from Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord will do this. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about the king of Assyria. He will not come into this city. He will not shoot an arrow there. He will not advance against it with a shield, and he will not build up a siege ramp against it. By the same way he came, he will go back, but he will not come into this city. A declaration of the Lord. I will protect and save this city for my own sake, and for the sake of my servant David. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 men in the camp of Assyria. When it was time to wake up in the morning, there they were, all the dead bodies. Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and returned and lived in Nineveh. One day, when he was worshiping in the house of his god Nisroch, his sons Adrammelech and Sharezer killed him with the sword. They fled to the land of Ararat, and his son Esarhaddon became king in his place. Acts 21, 1 through 17. After we tore ourselves away from them and set sail, we headed straight to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. When we found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, we went on board and set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing by on its south side, we sailed to Syria and put into port at Tyre, because there the ship was to unload its cargo. We located the disciples and stayed there 7 days. Through the Spirit, they kept telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. When our time there came to an end, we left and went on our way. All of them with their wives and children accompanied us out of the city. We knelt down on the beach and prayed. After saying goodbye to each other, we went on board the ship and they returned home. When we completed our voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais. There we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for one day. The next day, we left and came to Caesarea. We entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. He had four virgin daughters who prophesied. After we had stayed there for a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he came to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own feet and hands with it, and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. This is the way the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and will deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." When we heard this, both we and the local residents urged Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. And Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Since he could not be persuaded, we said nothing more except, "May the Lord's will be done." After those days, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea also went with us and brought us to Mnason, with whom we were to stay. He was from Cyprus and was one of the first disciples. When we arrived in Jerusalem, the brothers gave us a warm welcome. Psalm 149. Praise Him, all His people. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing His praise in the congregation of His favored ones. Let Israel rejoice in its Maker. Let the people of Zion celebrate for their King. Let them praise His name with dancing, with hand drum and lyre. Let them make music to Him. For the Lord is pleased with His people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let those he favors rejoice in honor. Let them shout for joy on their beds. May high praise of God be in their throats, and a two-edged sword in their hands, to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with iron shackles, to carry out the judgment written against them. This is the glory of all his favored people. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 18:8. The words of a gossip are like delicious food. People gobble them right down. All right, so yesterday we saw the Assyrian Empire conquer and destroy the northern kingdom of Israel and carry 10 of the ancient tribes into exile, where they disappeared from history. And as we begin the second half of our year, we saw the Assyrians try to further their conquest by conquering the southern kingdom of Judah. And they were doing it. The fortified cities were falling one after the other when Assyria's king Sennacherib sent officials to Jerusalem to intimidate them into surrendering. So they're outside the walls. The officials are taunting Jerusalem with the king's message. What god of any nation has ever been able to save its people from my power? What makes you think that the Lord can rescue Jerusalem from me? So Judah's king Hezekiah is a very God-fearing, godly king, a reformer king. There are many of his innovations, including the water system into Jerusalem, that still exist from Hezekiah's time. So Hezekiah, he takes off his royal robes and he puts on sackcloth and he goes into the temple and he sends some people to find Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah sends a message back that the Assyrians will withdraw because they'll become aware of a threat from another army. And this happened, but not before Sennacherib sent this threatening letter to Hezekiah recounting the conquests of the Assyrians and giving assurances to Hezekiah that Jerusalem is next and Jerusalem will fall. Man, have you ever felt like that? Like Hezekiah? I sure have. It's like your back is against the wall. The enemy is bearing down on you with taunts and intimidation, and there's no way out. So Hezekiah took this letter into the temple very humbly and laid it before the Lord, spread it out, and confessed the truth. He said, it's true, Lord, that the kings of Assyria, they have destroyed all those nations, and they have thrown all their gods into the fires and burned them. But of course, the Syrians could destroy them, because those were not gods. Those were idols. They were handmade of wood and stone. But now, Lord God, rescue us from his power, because then all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you're the only one. You alone are God. And after that, God wiped out the mighty Assyrian army, and Sennacherib withdrew to the capital city of his empire, which is Nineveh. And as he's praying in the temple of his God, two of his sons assassinated him. So when we face intimidation, maybe we can remember this story, because Sennacherib's letter was meant to weaken Hezekiah, but the intimidation was nothing more than hot air when contrasted with the power of the Almighty God. And when we find ourselves in these kinds of situations, well, everything's a crossroads, right? We have a choice. So, you know, being taunted and being intimidated is a real thing. And it's incredibly demoralizing and painful. And it brings about an enormous amount of fear. We can believe that. It can even be true. Or we can become very humble and more aware of what has always been bedrock truth. There is no hope without God for anything. There never was, and there never will be. Because we are made for God and made by God to know God, to be known by God. And, I mean, Hezekiah had to cast his cares upon God, which isn't to say that he had no role to play and that the pain and the intimidation and fear wasn't real. It's about where we put those things. All that energy, where does that go? He spread it out before God and spoke the truth and asked for help. Maybe that's the next move when we find ourselves there. So, Father, we thank you for your word. And as we have launched ourselves into the second half of this year, we invite your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth and lead us through the situations that we find ourselves in. Sometimes we're trying to get over things when we really just, like, the way to do that is to go through them and know that you are there with us in it. And we keep moving forward because you keep pulling us forward. And every day, we're a step closer. So, Holy Spirit, lead us there, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, our home base, as we know. And that is definitely where to get connected and stay connected and be connected to the journey that we are on. That is where we can measure our journey. We can follow along with what we're reading. We can journal and jot down the notes that kind of jump out and refer back to those days so we can find those scriptures and really bring the scriptures into our lives in a way that we can relate to. Because it's not a one time, it's not a one and done thing, it's a relationship that we get into with the scriptures. Anyone here that's been through more than once, right? I mean, it hits us different. Because our lives move on and move forward, but the scriptures really touch in a year pretty much everything about our humanity and what motivates it in a lot of ways. And so, well, staying connected along the way, that's why we've built the app, and that's why we're continuing to build it for the community that we are around the Global Campfire, so certainly check it out. What is going on around here is, well, less than a week now. A week from yesterday, and we're in the right month now, July. July 7th is the Daily Audio Bible holiday. a tradition that we have had. This will be the 20th year since that kind of came to be. We call it the Long Walk, and it's just a day to do that. Take a day and go for a long walk with God. Go somewhere beautiful. Get out in nature. Breathe fresh air. Get into silence and be amazed at the life that springs forth all around you. All of the creatures that we share this world with and how they live their lives, and all of the breeze, all of the trees, all of the flowers, all of it. Go for a long walk as if you had nothing but time to spare, and take the time to actually really untangle things. We get wound up into balls of anxiety and depression and all kinds of things that lead us on dark paths. Unpack that, untangle that. Go for a long walk and just enjoy time and speak out everything that's going on in your life to God. And then offer time for response, like listen and feel in your heart and in your spirit his presence with you. That is the beauty of the long walk. And I've said this several times, like I'm busy, we're all busy, crazy busy. The world isn't gonna slow down. Everything is aimed at getting every single nanosecond of our attention. What if we give, focus our attention and our affection on God for a day? What do you think the dividends might be? Because they're profound. And so go for a long walk with God. That's the holiday. And this is an individual thing, but thousands and thousands of us are doing this all over the world. So wherever you go, however it is, maybe take a picture where you are. Take a selfie. Maybe take a little video. Wherever it is that you go, whatever it is that you do. And you can share that. Go to the Daily Audio Bible Facebook page, and there'll be a post there. And you can comment in that post and share your story, so that when you get done with your long walk, you can see what the day looked like all over the world and realize that we are in this together. It is a beautiful community experience that is done very individually with God. That is the long walk, and that is coming up the 7th of July, this coming Tuesday. So make sure you plan for that. I look forward to that, and I look forward to seeing little windows open up into each other's lives all over the world, and to see what the day looked like all over the world. I love that. So plan for that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you deeply and humbly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey there, DAB community. I'm calling out to my campfire community for help, for prayers. I have been fighting a battle over the past 7 months with the devil attacking me through my wife, attacking me through members of her family. I'm all alone, really. I moved to where she lives, and my family is 3,000 miles away. My wife has been drinking, secretively lying, and recently I've learned that she's also been speaking with other men. And I learned all of this after she had a bipolar moment where her mental illness broke out because her drinking has made her medication ineffective. So she's in a mental hospital, and I'm sitting here raising our 2.5-year-old, contemplating what to do, trying to listen for God, trying to take every sign possible so that I can find my glory and find my direction. I don't know if I'm supposed to make her move with me to where I'm being called to go, or whether I'm supposed to take my children and go alone. So I'm just asking for prayers, for clarity, for God's grace, for God's strength, and for God's glory to be here with me and help me find the right direction. Thank you.
Good morning, Colorado time. This is Running to Jesus, also known as staying desperately connected to Jesus. I'm out doing my walk this morning, and I feel so overwhelmed. I feel I'm in a season for the past maybe 5-6 years that has really broken me down, from losing a job because I didn't have a particular credential, although I've had a master's since 1994. Then I learned about 2 years ago that I have arthritis in my hips, so I'm unable to run, something that I love to do. Then this year, starting in January, I was diagnosed with vertigo, which was caused by an inner ear virus, which has affected my nervous system, my balance. And during the time that I'm going to physical therapy for that, now I'm dealing with the plantar, which is basically diagnosis of the foot, where it's difficult, very difficult to walk unless I have arches, inserts in my shoes. I ask God, why am I going through this? I've worked out for over 25 years, and I've never been, have so many things go wrong with my body. I know I'm getting older, I'm 62, but I just ask God, can this stop? I know His hand is in it, but sometimes I get discouraged. Running desperately to Jesus, also known as staying desperately connected to Jesus.
Hey, this is Daniel, the Wholehearted, calling from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Just wanted to call in and pray for Jamie in New Jersey. I do want to just start off with a thanks to Brian, Jill, and your family. Thank you so much for all the work you continue to do. Your love for us demonstrated through reading the Word to us. Thank you so much. I want to lift up Jamie in New Jersey, and just first off, want to encourage you, brother, and just bless you. You are a father who is in touch with his son. You're a boss who is in touch with your workers. You're a dad who loves his daughter. Thank you for just the way that you are responding to our Heavenly Father, and the way that He loves us, the way that He leads us and cares for us. I just see you doing that with those around you. God, I want to join in Jamie's prayer, just asking that that you would use this time in his co-workers' lives, Lord, that they would be led into a place of goodness in you, Lord, that they would find blessing, Lord, that Jamie's meekness as he approaches them would be evident, Lord, and they would be drawn to you. Lord, I pray for Alex. I pray for Jamie's son, Alex. I pray that you would just bring friends into his life, if that's your will. Lord, thank you that he has a dad who loves him and cares for him. Lord, thank you that he has a dad who is enough. God, and you also, in the places that we fall short, you are enough. Lord, thank you for being Jamie's father. And I pray that you would bless Alex through Jamie. I also pray for Katarina. Thank you that she makes great decisions, that she's following after you. Lord, continue to intensify her love for you. Lord, that she would just continue to follow you all the days of her life. Lord, on top of all these blessings, add your spirit. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening, my DAB family. This is Northeast Kneebender. It is the 30th of June, and I have been hearing the podcast for the 29th and the 30th. As I've told you before, I re-listened to all the prayer requests and their scripture reading. And our brother Jamie from New Jersey called because on the 1st of July, he is going to have to let go of 9 of his employees that are under him. And he's been very burdened over this. And I stand in agreement with you, my brother Jamie. I understand the hardship of losing a job. And I pray for each and every one of those, and I pray for you, because it's just got to be so difficult to be in leadership and have to do this. So I'm praying for you, and I'm also praying for your son Alex and your daughter Katarina. I just wanted you to know that you are such a blessing to this community, and we are standing with you. God bless you, my brother.
Hello, my wonderful DAB family. This is Rosie, a.k.a. Great to Be Free Jesus. I'm calling to request prayer for my granddaughter, Anissa. She's going through so much depression, and I don't know how to reach her. She won't let me talk to her. She won't talk to me. And she used to read her Bible all the time and pray and sing praise and worship music. Now she's gone, you know, off the deep end, and she doesn't understand why she's so depressed. And I know if I could talk to her, I could reach her, because I've done it before, but she won't even let me talk to her. And she and I used to be really close. So I'd really appreciate it if you guys could lift her up in prayer. She's really a wonderful young lady. She has a really good job. She has her own apartment, and she has 2 children, 5 and 6 years old. And if you'd pray for them too, Damari and Milani. And I love you, my wonderful DAB family. God bless you. Bye.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. This is John from Missouri. Been updating everybody. You know, who've been praying for my wife, Barbara, and myself in this situation with her health. I've just been blown away and just encouraged so much by all of the prayers and just beautiful prayers. I wish I could remember everybody, but I did hear just on the community prayer today, the 27th, Victoria from Nigeria, I believe, and it was just a beautiful heartfelt prayer, which just touched my heart, and just so thankful for your prayer and just your concern. So thank you so much for that. And I'm praying for everybody that I hear in the community prayer now. I hadn't always done that, but I'm trying to really make an effort to do that and make prayer really part of my life, not just for me and my family, but for all of you and the greater world. So I am praying for Nigeria also, and Christians in Nigeria, because I know there's been some turmoil there, and just praying for all of them and all Christians all over the world who've been persecuted. But my wife, doing better, got more blood work today. Kidney levels continue to get a little better. It's slow but sure. She's feeling a little better, getting up and around a little bit more. And we're still waiting, you know, blood work. Some of it's a little odd. The blood works and platelets are low, and other red blood cell counts are odd and low. So there's still some weird stuff there, but I know that God has it. And just keep praying, if you don't mind, everybody. And we still got that. And then the autoimmune, and just her staph infection to heal. Thanks so much.